Are you going to come, Ava?
Yes, I yell at his face.
Any moment now, I'm going to have an encore to my previous release, and it's going to be equally as satisfying and earth-shattering.
Please!
He moves in closer, his lips as close to mine as they can be without touching. That feel good, baby? He pushes in deep and high, brushing my front wall.
Oh, God! I cry. Jesse, please!
I lift my head to try and capture his lips, but he pulls back. You want me? I'm starting to burn, my legs tensing as he strokes between my swelling lips.
Yes.
Do you want to please me, Ava?
Yes. Jesse, please!
I cry. I'm completely stunned when he withdraws his fingers and rises from the bed.
What? No!
I'm on the cusp of falling over the edge, and just like that, my pending orgasm has disappeared, leaving me feeling like an unexploded bomb.
What are you doing?
I ask in my stunned state. You want me to finish the job? He cocks his head, tucking himself into his trousers.
Yes!
His eyes lock with mine. Don't go out.
No!
He shrugs. My work is done here. He kisses the air, staring at me through his hooded green pools, before he turns and walks out. I'm flat on my back, naked, feeling like I've been marked, and I'm desperate for release. I can't believe he's just done that. I know what that was. That was a failed sense fuck followed up by a failed finger tease. It's a complete manipulation tactic.
I'll sort myself out then,
I shout as the door slams behind him. I won't. It would be nowhere near as satisfying if I do it myself. I huff, taking my naked body over to my underwear drawer to find my most racy set. Pink lace should do it. I slip it on and retrieve the posh boutique bag, smiling as I unfold the tissue paper that's protecting the 500-pound ultimate taboo dress. She who laughs last, Mr. Ward. I battle with a zip again, sort out my half-finished makeup, and present myself to the mirror. I'm very pleased with myself. The cream silk taboo dress looks damn good. My skin sun-kissed, my eyes dark and smoky, and my hair a mass of chocolate waves. I slip my feet into my cream Carvela stilettos and spritz myself with Calvin Klein's Eternity.
Fucking hell, Kate screeches.
I turn to face her, finding her looking up and down my tight, silk-clad body.
He'll go mad.
I scoff. The lord of the manor can fuck right off. Kate laughs.
Oh, you are feeling brave. I love it.
She walks in, looking her usual stunning self, in a vivid green dress and navy heels.
What did he do to deserve this?
He left me pre-orgasm after failing to fuck some sense into me. I toss it out there casually, and Kate falls onto the bed in a helpless heap of laughter. I can't help but laugh with her. I suppose it is quite funny.
God love him! She splutters through her hysteria.
I'm glad I'm not the only one enjoying the best sex I've ever had. She wipes the laughter tears from under her eyes. I'm not at all surprised to hear that. Not at all. Sam isn't walking around her apartment semi-naked and with that dirty grin on his face because she's making him lots of cakes.
He has me in knots.
I shake my head, returning to the mirror to apply my nude lipstick.
Have we figured out how old he is yet?
Kate picks up my bronzer brush to give her pale cheeks an extra dusting.
No idea.
It's a no-go subject, just like the scar on his stomach. She pinches her cheeks.
Does it matter? And what scar?
No, it doesn't. And the scar is quite a nasty affair from here to here. I run my finger from the middle of my lower stomach to my hip bone. She looks at me in the reflection of the mirror.
You're in love with him.
Crazily, I finally admit out loud. Chapter 27. We bowl past the bouncers of Baroque in fits of giggles. We're not the least bit drunk, but the laughter is just rolling tonight.
What are you having? Kate asks as a barman approaches us at the bar.
Wine, I answer, smiling to myself. That was easy. Kate gets served, and we make our way through the Friday night crowd to find the last available table at the back of the bar. I gingerly lift myself onto the bar stool, keeping a good grip on the hem of my dress.
So, tell me, Sam?
I ask off the cuff, knowing there's more to this than sex. I don't know Sam, but I know Kate very well, and for her to be dedicating so much time to a man, he must be pretty special. She hasn't spent so much time with a man since my brother. I smile at his impending arrival. I can't wait to see him, but I won't be talking about Dan tonight, not with Kate. She shrugs.
Fun!
Come on, I exclaim. I've divulged far too much information on Jesse. Give me something. She sips her wine, placing it back down on the table casually.
Ava, he's not the sort of man you settle down with. I'll take the fun while it lasts, but I won't be getting attached.
I inwardly hiss as Kate reminds me of Sarah's words about building dreams.
How do you know?
I ask, trying to rein in my drifting thoughts.
I just do, she says on a half laugh.
I'm a bit disappointed. Kate's lively, amazingly laid back, and completely uninhibited. All of the things that Sam seems to be. What's the issue?
I like him, I admit.
He might be an exhibitionist and a complete pest, but he's very endearing with it.
Well, I like Jesse.
I laugh. Yes, she would like him. He bought her a van. But then I recoil.
You don't like him like that, do you?
Oh, God, I'd never thought that Kate might be attracted to him. Well, everyone's attracted to him. I've been on the receiving end of numerous sneers from admiring women, but I never thought, not for a moment, that Kate might look at him like that.
No,
she looks at me all offended.
I like how much he clearly loves you.
What?
He doesn't love me, Kate. He loves to fuck me.
I take a long glug of wine to dull the effect that Kate's statements had on me. Or is it the effect of my alternative statement? Clearly loves me, or clearly loves to control me?
Ava, again, you're the master of denial.
How old do you think he is? I ask. Kate shrugs.
Mid-30s?
You could ask Sam. I don't know why I haven't thought of this before. Does Sam even know?
Tried that, she smiles and I sag. I'm going for a quick cigarette.
She slips down from the stool, retrieving her cigarettes from her bag.
Wait here, we don't want to lose the table.
She makes her way to the smoking area, leaving me pondering my diabolical situation. I'm in love with a trampling, unreasonable control freak, and I don't even know how old he is. I knew I should have stayed away from him. I can't help but think that I could have easily rebuffed, denied, and walked away from any other man, but Jesse is another story entirely. I'm addicted to him, and I'm not sure it's healthy.
Ava?
I'm dragged from my brief thoughts by a very familiar voice. It's also a most unwelcome voice. I swivel on my tight, silk-clad butt.
Matt!
I sound shocked, which is fine because I am.
Shit, Ava, you look great!
He runs his smutty eyes up and down my body, making me feel uncomfortable and conspicuous. How does he make my skin crawl now? I loved him for 4 years. Or did I? What I felt for Matt seems to have paled into insignificance compared to how I'm feeling about Jesse.
Thanks,
I say politely, taking in his shirt and black jeans. I hate those jeans. What does he want?
What have you been up to?
He glances around nervously, and I know why. Fucking. That's what I've been up to. Lots of amazing fucking.
Not a lot. Working heaps, looking for a new place.
Matt doesn't pick up on my hair being coiled around my finger. He never did pick up on my hair twiddling habit. A sign, maybe? But regardless of his ignorance to my habit, he knows there's another man in my life, because he's had the pleasure of a trampling session.
Not a lot,
he muses thoughtfully, looking at me accusingly. I've tensed up, but for what reason I don't know. I owe him nothing, no explanation, and certainly not my time to explain.
It didn't take you long, did it?
He says. His accusation pulls my eyes back to his in shock.
Well, at least I waited until we were finished,
I spit, stunned by his cheek. He rests his elbows on the edge of the table, getting way too close to my personal space. My back straightens, pulling me away.
I was a twat.
Yes, you were.
Is there a point to this?
He smiles brightly. It's false.
I just wanted to apologize again. I was out of line. I wouldn't blame you if you told me to fuck off.
I smile sweetly.
Fuck off? There's no need to be like that. Can I buy you a drink for old time's sake?
He offers. For old time's sake?
What?
Like a celebration of how much of a knob he was. Please. I reposition myself on the stool with caution. This dress is ridiculous, and while I felt perfectly comfortable up until Matt found me, I now feel overexposed and vulnerable under the scrutinizing glare of my ex.
No thanks. Who was that man?
None of your business, I retort harshly, looking around the bar nervously myself.
He's a bit excitable, isn't he?
He laughs.
Protective.
I'm defending Jesse's unreasonable behavior now, but I'm not having my snide ex pass judgment, even if he's part right.
What the fuck are you doing here?
My shoulders tense. The sudden ice that emanates from Matt's body at the sound of Kate's voice is potent.
I was just leaving, Matt hisses. Fuck off, then.
He returns his eyes to me.
It was nice to see you, Ava.
Matt leaves me in peace until Kate lets loose.
What are you doing talking to that snake?
She blurts across the table as she lifts herself onto her stool.
I was trying not to, I defend myself. What did he want?
I don't know, I reply. I do, of course, not that I'd dream of telling Kate. She huffs a little before swigging her wine, and I join her, finishing off my own glass.
I'll get another.
I take some money from my clutch.
Watch my bag.
I make my way to the bar to order another round of drinks and wait patiently for the barman to get my order. This is my third glass of wine. I really am being a rebel. But after Jesse's performance at home, I'm on a private defiance mission to have the last say. A few hours later, the bar crowd is thinning out, and we're probably on our third bottle of wine. We're giggling like a pair of teenagers, and I'm getting pretty brave with my questioning.
Were you really tied to the bed?
I ask cheekily. The grin that spreads across her face tells me I wasn't having my leg pulled. I'm not even that shocked. It must be the effect of the alcohol. Or it could be all of the steamy sex that I've been getting myself lately.
I knew it, I laugh.
You need to tell him to put some clothes on when he's wandering around the flat. I don't know where to look.
Are you mad? Her eyes bug at me. What a waste of a fine physique.
What does he do anyway? I ask.
He drives a Porsche and never seems to be at work. She shrugs. Rich orphan.
Orphan?
Apparently, she begins thoughtfully. His parents died in a car accident when he was 19. He has no siblings, no family, nothing. He lives off his inheritance and plays very hard. She smirks again. Sam's an orphan? I can't imagine losing my parents at that age, or any age, in fact. I suddenly see the cheeky chap in a very different light. You would never know something so dreadful had happened to him. He's always smiling and joking. How old is he? I ask.
30, she answers, almost reluctantly, like she feels guilty for knowing the age of the man she's screwing.
I let it pass. It's not Kate's fault that I'm clueless.
What do you make of Drew?
Her eyebrows jump up.
He's a bit straight and aloof, isn't he?
Yes, I exclaim. I'm glad I'm not the only one who finds him this way. Not Victoria's type at all.
Give it 2 dates maximum,
Kate points her glass at me, sloshing a bit on the table.
She'll bore him to death with a run-by-run account of her latest visit to the tanning salon.
She nods and sips more wine.
Hey, has Jessie mentioned anything about a party at the manor?
Yes, I blurt.
Are you going?
Damn right I am. I can't wait to see the place.
Her eyes dance with excitement.
I think a shopping trip is in order.
Oh, I'll probably make do with something I've got in my wardrobe. I shrug. I've just spent 500 quid on this stupid minuscule dress.
I go to lean back on my stool, swiftly remembering there's no back support, prompting me to grab the edge of the table. My wine flies up in the air.
Shit!
I cry, just managing to save myself from falling arse first to the floor. I join Kate in her helpless laughter, both our wine glasses swishing about as we titter and splutter. I need to stop drinking right now. I'm on the cusp of falling over the edge of merriment and into the realms of slurring and staggering, and with my unreasonable lord due at 8 in the morning, I need to ensure I'm hangover-free.
I think we need to call it a night,
I hint in my most diplomatic tone. Kate nods her agreement around the rim of her wine glass.
Yep, I'm done.
She slips off the stool and staggers toward me.
Oh, I love this track. Let's dance, she screeches, pulling me toward the dance floor.
Kate, there's no one on the dance floor, I complain. There's almost no one in the bar either.
Who cares?
She argues, stumbling toward the music, taking me with her.
We'll go after this. Oh!
She clatters to the ground, dragging me down with her on a yelp.
Sorry!
She laughs. We both lay sprawled on our backs across the floor, giggling and looking up at the dim lights of the bar. I would be embarrassed if I wasn't so tipsy.
Do you think the bouncers will come and help us up? I splutter over my laughter.
Kate wipes a tear away.
I don't know. Shall we yell?
She reaches over for my arm to support herself as she heaves her body up to a sitting position.
Oh, shit!
She curses, her tone altering considerably from mischievous to serious.
What?
I push myself up to find out what we are oh-shitting about, only to discover Jesse looming over us, arms folded across his chest, with an extremely irked look on his handsome face. Oh, shit indeed. I clamp my lips together for fear of laughing and pissing him off further.
Oh, no, that's me grounded for a month,
I titter in a low voice, for only Kate to hear. She spits all over the place as she tries to suppress her laugh, and I lose the battle to restrain mine. We both sit on the floor of the bar like a pair of drunken hyenas, whilst the colour in Jessie's face gets redder by the second.
Kate,
laughs harder when Sam rocks up next to Jesse, rolling his eyes. Why can't my man give me an eye roll instead of standing there looking like he's going to self-combust? I'm not even that drunk. My current location is only courtesy of my delinquent best friend, leading me astray. A burly skinhead bouncer approaches, and I nudge Kate with my elbow to signal our imminent ejection from the bar. Kate, if they don't allow us in for lunch anymore, then I'll be really pissed. I love Baroque's BLT sandwich. You're already pissed, she snorts, making another attempt to get up, using me as a prop.
Jesse, sort your woman out.
The bouncer drawls, clasping Jesse's hand in greeting.
Oh, don't worry.
He hits me with his most menacing glare.
She'll be sorted out. Thanks for the call, Jay.
What?
Come on, you pest, Sam jibes Kate, hoisting her up.
She throws her arms around his neck, giggling in his face.
Take me to bed, Samuel. You can tie me up again.
I watch as Sam restrains his laughter at Kate's performance, but he's not suppressing the chuckles because he's mad with Kate. Oh, no. He's keeping a lid on it because of Jesse. He's trampling on my night again. I wasn't expecting to see him until 8 in the morning, so he would never have known that I got myself a little pissed. And what's all this business with a bouncer calling him? I return my tipsy gaze to Mr. Unreasonable, pulling my best hacked-off face. His eyes are bulging, and I follow his glare down at my dress. Oh dear, I've contravened on 2 orders. I probably really will be grounded. I start giggling again.
Up now,
he snarls through a ticking jaw.
Oh, lighten up, you bore,
I chide more confidently than I'm feeling. I put my hand out to him for some help, knowing he won't leave me to struggle. He sighs, shaking his head in a demonstration of his exasperation, before reaching down to pull me up. His eyes widen further when he gets the full frontal impact of the dress. I start giggling again, but quickly calm myself down.
Are you mad at me?
I look up at him in my tipsy state, batting my eyelashes as I grip the front of his grey suit.
Crazy mad, Ava,
he says threateningly, grabbing my elbow and leading me out of the bar. We find Sam helping Kate into the front seat of his Porsche, holding the top of her head as he lowers her in. She's still giggling. It sets me off again.
Samuel! Tonight is your lucky night,
she sings as Sam shuts her in. Jesse and Sam exchange goodbyes, while Jesse keeps a firm grip on my elbow.
See ya, chick,
Sam pecks my cheek, flashing me a quick private grin which I acknowledge with my own, while concentrating hard on not laughing and pissing off my unreasonable man any more than necessary. I'm led to Jesse's car, placed in the front seat, gently but firmly, and all in complete silence. He looks really mad, but I'm drunk and defiant, so I don't care. He reaches for my seatbelt, and I insolently bat him away.
I can put a seatbelt on,
I grumble moodily, getting landed with a don't-push-me look, so probably quite wisely, I place my hands in my lap, letting him lean across me to secure the belt. I steal an inhale of his scent.
You smell delicious, I inform him quietly.
He pulls back, his face still straight, his eyes still simmering with displeasure, but he doesn't say a word. He's giving me the silent treatment. He slams my door and slides in behind the wheel, pulling into the traffic haphazardly and with no consideration for other road users. Kate's house is that way, I point out as he roars off in the wrong direction.
And?
Is the terse one-word answer I get spat at me.
And It's where I live, I state firmly.
He's not completely trampling my night. Kate and I have some of our best discussions over a post-alcohol cup of tea.
You're staying at mine.
He doesn't even look at me.
No, that wasn't part of the deal, I remind him. I have until 8 in the morning before you distract me again.
I've changed the deal.
You can't change the deal.
He slowly turns his face to mine.
You did.
I recoil, giving him my most disgusted look, but I can't think of anything to say. He's right. I did break the rules of the deal. But that's only because his conditions are so fucking unreasonable. I sit back in the soft leather and give up. It's only 8-ish hours until 8 o'clock, anyway. We pull up at Luso and I groan. The only time Clive ever sees me is when I'm drunk or been carried in from exhaustion. I open the door and take cautious steps, lifting myself to a standing position while Jesse watches me closely, no doubt waiting for me to stumble so he can scoop me up and give Clive the impression that I'm Blotto again. I shut the door softly and start walking toward the foyer. I must not stagger. I must not stagger. I reach the foyer, still in a vertical position, and give Clive a polite nod as I pass, but he doesn't say a word. He nods back at me and then flicks his eyes to Jesse, and I know when he puts his head back down, without so much as a greeting, that he must have clocked Jesse's fierce face. I huff to myself, enter the elevator, and wait courteously for Jesse to step inside. You need to get this code changed, I mutter, punching in the developer code. He only has to notify security and they'll see to it immediately. He doesn't say a word. Oh, he's really working the silent treatment well. I look up, finding him staring at me, studying me closely, completely expressionless. I'm certain that he's about to pounce and give me some sort of Jesse-style fuck. Would he be fucking sense into me? Or would it be a reminder fuck? Oh, it'll probably be an apology fuck. My tipsy brain relishes the thought, but then the elevator doors open and he steps out before me, leaving me to follow behind. I'm shocked. I would have put my life on the certainty of being jumped. He opens the door and strolls in without so much as looking at me, leaving me to shut it and follow him into the kitchen, where I find him grabbing a bottle of water from the fridge. He takes a few swigs before thrusting it at me. I don't bother pushing it away, mainly because I'm thirsty, not because I'm behaving. I drink the water under his watchful eye, placing the empty bottle on the worktop when I'm finished.
Turn around, he orders.
I hold my breath as a million fireworks light up inside me, and I follow through on his command, turning away from him, my libido screaming, my skin prickling. The feeling of his warm hands skating over my shoulders has me clenching my jaw and releasing my breath. He grasps the zip of my dress and slowly pulls it down, making a point of sliding his hands down my sides as he drags it down my body, kneeling as he goes. My ankle is tapped, and I step out of the pooling material, turning back to look down at him kneeling before me. Gazing up at me, he slowly rises to his feet, dragging his nose up between my breasts until he reaches my throat. He breathes into my neck. I'm mentally begging for him. My skin is burning for him to touch me. I want to grab him, but I know this will be done on his terms.
Do you want my mouth on you, Ava?
He asks softly. My breath catches in my throat as his voice vibrates against my ear and I sigh, long and breathy.
You need to say the word.
He brushes his lips over my ear. My knees shake. Yes, I gasp on an exhale. Do you want me to fuck you, baby?
Jesse, I jerk as he strokes between my thighs.
I know. You want me.
He bites down on my earlobe, the metal of my silver studs chinking against his teeth. I shudder, panting and desperate for him. But then he pulls away, leaving me standing a wanton mass of hormones in front of him.
Stay there,
he orders firmly, walking away. He's still fully dressed in his suit. He strides away from me and opens a cupboard, taking something out. Chocolate spread? My pulse accelerates. Calmly, he makes his way back over to me while I run my eyes down his lean physique, delighting in the stiff bulge at his groin. I wait, undemanding and tolerant of his leisurely pace, and when he finally reaches me, he gets up close and personal, breathing his hot minty breath all over me as his lips skim my cheeks, my eyes, my chin, finally resting gently on my lips. I hum in pure pleasure, opening my mouth, but he breaks our kiss and starts lowering himself down my body. A barrage of heat floods me, my short, sharp breaths becoming suppressed and ragged. Looking up at me as he descends, his nose grazes my lace knickers, triggering my hands to fly out and grab his shoulders for support. He gives me that knowing smile and starts rising again, pressing his body against mine on his way.
You're so affected by me,
he breathes in my ear. I shiver, catching my breath. Yes, I am.
I know you are.
It
really fucking turns me on.
He steps away from me. What's he doing? His hands come up, and I register him holding my dress in one, and in the other, a pair of scissors.
He wouldn't.
He calmly opens the scissors and sets them at the hem of my dress. Then, very slowly, he snips up the center as I watch on a gape. It seems he bloody would. A 500-pound dress. I can't even locate the ability to stop him or shout at him. I'm utterly stunned. Not content with having my 500-pound dress in two pieces, he proceeds to calmly chop it up into a further few scraps, before placing the mutilated material calmly and precisely, with zero emotion, on the island with the scissors. He turns back to face me. I find my voice. I can't believe you just did that.
Don't play games with me, Ava,
he warns, all calm and controlled. He slips his hands in his trouser pockets and regards me closely as I stand in front of him, unequivocally staggered. All fuzzy tipsiness has completely gone. I'm sound-minded, steady, and absolutely astounded by his demonstration of so-called power. You, I point my finger in his face, are crazy. His lips form a straight line.
I fucking feel it. Get your ass to bed.
What? Get my ass to bed? The man is way past unreasonable. He's completely impossible. I feel my brow knit. If I spend any more time with this man, I'll be having Botox before I'm 27. I'm not getting in bed with you. I kick my heels off and pivot, leaving the kitchen and my simmering control freak behind. I take the stairs, slamming my feet down, huffing all the way. I could scream. He's a raving fucking nut job. I stomp across the open landing, letting myself into the farthest spare bedroom. I have a choice of others, but this one is my favorite, and it's the farthest away from him. I slam the door behind me and crawl into the wonderfully dressed bed that still looks like it did on launch night. Flinging all the fancy cushions on the floor, I slam my frustrated head down into the pillow, immediately resenting that it doesn't smell of fresh water and mint, and it's nowhere near as comfortable as Jessie's bed. But it will do for tonight. Tomorrow, I'm leaving. The man is deranged. There is just no bloody point even trying to have my own way, because even if he's gentlemanly enough to give it to me, he tramples all over it later anyway. Ass, I mutter to myself. The door opens wide, the light from the open landing gushing in, and I watch his silhouette grow larger as he closes in on me. What's he going to do now? Pump my stomach? He bends down and scoops me into his arms without a word. If I thought it would get me anywhere, I would fight him off. But I don't. I let him carry me into his bedroom and place me in his bed. I roll over onto my front, burying my face into a pillow, closing my eyes and pretending not to relish in the comfort of his scent all over the sheets. I'm mentally exhausted and grateful it's the weekend. I might sleep for the whole of it. I hear the shuffles and movements of Jessie getting undressed, and then the bed dips. I'm grasped around my waist and pulled with minimum effort into the hardness of his chest. I try to bat him away, ignoring the warning growl emanating from him. Get off, I snap, peeling his fingers away from me. Ava. His tone is seriously lacking patience. It just incenses me further. Tomorrow, I'm out of here, I spit, heaving myself away from him. We'll see. He almost laughs as he yanks me back into him, squeezing me to his body. I stop fighting. It's a fruitless endeavor. Besides, I can't help the immense contentment I feel with his arms wrapped tightly around me, his hot breath in my hair. I'm still boiling mad, though. Chapter 28. Rise and shine, lady. His nose is touching mine as I open my eyes. I give my brain a few moments to kick into gear, and my eyes time to adjust to the light, and when my focus eventually clears, I find he's looking down at me with bright green twinkling eyes. I, on the other hand, want to sleep some more. It's Saturday, and not even my need to tell him off will get me out of this bed any time soon. I push him away, rolling over. I'm not talking to you, I grumble, snuggling back down into my pillow. He gives my backside a swift slap before flipping me back over and pinning my arms down. That hurt, I scowl at him, and the corners of his lush lips twitch, but I'm in no mood for roguish Jessie this morning. I'm swathed from head to toe in him as he gazes down at me, running his eyes all over my face. I should bring my knee up and catch him where it counts. Now, today can go one of two ways, he informs me. You can stop being unreasonable, and we'll have a lovely day together. Or you can continue being a defiant little temptress, and I'll be forced to handcuff you to the bed and dig you in the tickle spot until you lose consciousness. What's it to be, baby? Me? Unreasonable? My jaw falls open as he watches me with interest. Does he seriously think I won't challenge him on that little proposal? I lift my head so I'm right up close to his stubbled, irritatingly stunning face. Fuck off, I say, slowly and clearly, making him recoil and his eyes widen at my brashness. I'm pretty ashamed of myself too, but he brings out the worst in me with his unreasonable ways. Watch your fucking mouth. No. What the hell are you doing having Dorman advise you of my movements? That little memory has just landed in my waking brain. But if I'm right, and he's arranged for bouncers to monitor me, then I'll boil over.
Ava, I just want to make sure you're safe.
He drops his head down, starting to chew his lip.
I worry, that's all.
He worries? He's known me for less than a month, and he's getting all protective and possessive? He tramples everywhere, derails me, cuts up my dresses, and prohibits me from drinking. I'm 26 years old, Jesse. He returns his eyes to mine. They're dark again.
Why did you wear that dress?
To piss you off, I answer honestly, wriggling a little in complete vain. I'm not going anywhere.
But you thought you weren't going to see me.
His brow furrows. Does he think I was wearing it for someone else? It's principle, I mutter. I wanted the upper hand, even if he didn't know it. You owe me a dress. He smiles, nearly blinding me.
We'll put it on our list of things to do today.
What list would that be? Right now, I want to go back to sleep. Or he could wake me up another way. I squirm underneath him, and his eyebrows jump up in surprise.
What's all that about?
He asks, blatantly trying to hide a grin. Okay, now I know exactly what his game is. He's going to deny me, just like he did last night, and just like he did before I went out. That's going to be his punishment for me defying him. He's cute. It's the worst thing he could do. You don't need to keep me safe, I gripe, worming my way free from under him. He can set the gauntlet all he likes.
That's how much I care about you,
he calls to my back as I leave him lying on the bed. Care? I want him to love me, not care. I walk across the bedroom to the bathroom, shutting the door behind me, feeling my heart slowly cracking. I wash my face and make a grab for Jesse's toothbrush, only to find my own in the holder with it. Huh? I cake it in paste on a frown and set about brushing my teeth, glancing in the mirror to the shower and spotting my shampoo and conditioner on the shelf, along with my razor and body wash. Has he moved me in? I carry on brushing my teeth, opening the door back into the bedroom, finding Jesse sprawled on his front with his face buried in the pillow. I walk past him into the walk-in wardrobe, nearly choking on my toothpaste, when I see a selection of my clothes hanging there. He has moved me in. Did I not get a say? I might very well love him, but I've known him for a few weeks. Moving in? What does this mean? Does he want me here to take care of me? Well, if so, he can sod right off. Control me more like.
Problem?
I swing around, my toothbrush hanging from my mouth, to find Jesse filling the doorway of the wardrobe, looking slightly apprehensive. It's a look that I've not seen on him before. My eyes drift down his torso, delighting in the flex of his muscles as he braces himself on the doorframe with both hands. But I quickly refocus my attention away from his distracting chest, suddenly remembering why I'm in the wardrobe. I garble a load of inaudible words around my toothpaste and brush.
I'm sorry, run that by me again.
His lips twitch at the corners as I yank my brush from my mouth. He bloody well knows what's wrong with me. I garble again, my words a little more comprehensible with the absence of my brush, but the paste is still hindering proper speech. He rolls his eyes and picks me up, taking me to the bathroom.
Spit, he commands as he places me on my feet.
I rid my mouth of all the paste and turn to face my unreasonable control freak. What's all this? I wave my arm around in the general direction of everything. He clamps his lips together to suppress a smile and leans forward, licking off the remnants of the paste from around my mouth, his hot tongue sweeping across my bottom lip slowly.
There. What's what?
He flicks his tongue up to my temple, blowing a long hot breath in my ear, and I tense when he reaches down to cup my sex, sending chills of pleasure flying through me.
No!
I push him away from me. You're not manipulating me with your delicious godliness. He grins that roguish grin.
You think I'm a god?
I huff, turning back to the mirror. His head is expanding at a rate so fast, I might be forced to jump out of the bathroom window before I'm squashed against the wall. Curving his arm around my waist, he pulls me against his front and leans down to rest his chin on my shoulder. He studies me in the reflection of the mirror, pushing his erection between my thighs and circling his hips, sending my hands flying down to catch the side of the vanity unit.
I don't mind being your god,
he whispers on a husk.
Why is my stuff here?
I ask his reflection, willing my body to behave and not get swallowed up by all his lovely godliness.
I collected it from Kate's earlier. I thought you could stay here for a few days.
Do I get a say? He circles those damn hips again, milking a small cry from me.
Do you ever?
I shake my head at him in the mirror, and one corner of his mouth rises on a mischievous smile as he circles again. I'm not going to react to his damn hip swivels, because I know he's going to leave me hanging again. And what's Kate playing at, letting all these men rummage through my belongings? There's more than 2 days' worth of clothes hanging in that wardrobe. What's his game?
Get yourself ready, lady.
He kisses my neck and smacks my ass.
I'm taking you out. Where would you like to go?
I look at him stunned. I get to choose? He shrugs.
I have to let you have your way some of the time.
His face is deadpan. He's completely serious. I should grab his offer of power with both hands while he's being so reasonable, but I'm suspicious. After his reaction last night, his massacre of the taboo dress, and the silent treatment, I'm befuddled as to why he's woken up all balanced and stable.
So, what would you like to do?
He asks. Let's go to Camden, I suggest, bracing myself for his refusal. Men hate all that hustle and bustle and roaming around browsing at stuff.
Okay.
He turns to get in the shower, leaving me at the sink, wondering where my challenging control freak has gone. At the bottom of the stairs, I hear Jesse talking on his phone, and walking into the kitchen, I instantly drool. He looks glorious in some worn jeans and a navy polo shirt, collar turned up, Jesse style. He's shaved and shoved some wax in his hair. He really is unreasonably handsome, as well as unreasonable everything else.
I'll be in tomorrow. Is everything okay?
He turns on his stool, running an eye down my body.
Thanks, John. Call me if you need me.
He places his phone down without looking away from me, folding his arms over his chest.
I like your dress.
His voice is all low and husky. I look down at my flowing floral tea dress. It sits on my knee, so the length probably meets with his approval. I'm surprised Kate packed it. It's a bit summery, with its cut-out back and lack of sleeves. I smile to myself. He hasn't seen the back yet, and I'm not showing him either. He'll make me change, I know it. I pull on my thin knitted cream cardigan, then position my suede bag across my body. Ready? I ask. He pushes himself to his feet, approaching me all moodily. I expect a deep kiss, but I don't get one. Instead, he slips his wayfarers on, takes my hand, and pulls me toward the door.
I get to spend the whole day with him, and he's not even going to kiss me?
You're not going to touch me all day, are you?
He looks down at our joined hands. I'm touching you. You know what I mean. You're punishing me. Why would I do that, Ava?
He pulls me into the elevator. He knows damn well what my point is. I look up at him.
I want you to touch me. I know you do. He punches in the code.
But you won't?
Give me what I want, and I will.
He doesn't look at me.
I don't believe this.
An apology?
I don't know, Ava. Do you need to apologize?
He still keeps his focus straight ahead. Even in the reflection of the doors, he still won't meet my eyes.
I'm sorry. I practically spit. I can't believe he's doing this. And I can't believe I'm this desperate for the contact.
Now, if you're going to apologize, at least sound sorry.
I'm sorry. His eyes meet mine in the mirror.
Are you?
Yes, I'm sorry.
You want me to touch you?
Yes.
He turns into me fast, pushing me up against the mirrored wall and completely blanketing me with his body. I feel instantly better. That wasn't too hard at all.
You're beginning to understand, aren't you?
His lips hover over mine, his hips pushing into my lower stomach.
I understand. I pant.
He takes my mouth and my hands find his shoulders, my nails digging straight into his muscles.
Yes, that's much better. I meet his tongue, melting into him completely.
Happy? He asks, breaking our kiss.
Yes. Me too.
We pull up in Camden for breakfast. It's a beautiful day, and I'm already too warm in my cardigan, but I'll suffer for a little longer. There's still scope for him to take me home in disgrace and make me change. Jessie collects me from the pavement, leading me across the road to a lovely little quaint cafe.
You'll love it here. We'll sit outside.
He pulls out a large wicker chair for me.
Why will I love it? I ask as I sit on the polka dot cushion. They do the best eggs Benedict.
He smiles brightly at me when he sees my eyes light up. The waitress approaches on a dribble when she spots Jesse in all of his manly godliness, but he's completely oblivious.
Can we have two of the eggs Benedict?
He points at the menu.
A strong black coffee and a cappuccino with an extra shot. No chocolate or sugar, please.
He turns his face up to the waitress, blasting her with one of his smiles, reserved only for women.
Thank you.
She appears to stagger slightly, and I laugh to myself. Yes, he had that exact same effect on me. She eventually finds her voice.
Would you like ham or salmon with your eggs?
He hands her the menu, taking off his wayfarers, so she gets the full impact of his stunning face.
Salmon, please.
I shake my head in dismay and check my phone while the waitress makes a meal of writing out our basic order.
White or granary?
Sorry? I glance up from my phone and find the waitress still hovering.
Would you like white or granary bread? Jessie repeats on a small smile.
Oh, granary, please. He returns his glorious greens to the wilting waitress.
Both granary, thank you.
She flashes her most willing smile before finally leaving us.
How are your legs?
He asks. But I know that's not what's gotten him chomping on his bottom lip. Fine. Do you run often? I already know the answer to this. No one gets up in the middle of the night to run 14 miles unless they're serious about it.
It distracts me,
he shrugs, sitting back in his chair, his expression thoughtful.
Distracts you from what?
He keeps his eyes on me.
You.
I scoff. He's obviously not running very much at the moment, then, because he's spending most of his time trampling all over me. Why do you need distracting from me?
Because, Ava, he sighs, I can't seem to stay away from you, and even more of a worry, I don't want to.
His tone harbours frustration. Is he frustrated with me or with himself? The waitress places our coffees on the table and lingers for a while, but she doesn't get blessed with another knockout smile. He's focused on me alone. His statement is bittersweet. I'm delighted that he can't stay away from me, but slightly affronted that it seems to annoy him. Why would that be worrying? I ask nonchalantly, while stirring my cappuccino and mentally pleading for some satisfactory answers. But after a few moments have passed, and he still hasn't answered, I glance up, discovering the cogs whirling at 100 miles an hour, his bottom lip getting a punishing chew. He eventually exhales noisily, dropping his eyes.
It's worrying, because I feel out of control.
He returns his eyes to me, penetrating me with his fixed green stare.
Feeling out of control is not something I do well, Ava. Not where you're concerned.
Is he admitting that he's a completely unreasonable control freak? It's bloody obvious that he doesn't cope when he's defied. I've seen hard evidence of that. If you were more reasonable, you wouldn't feel out of control. Are you like this with all of your women? His eyes widen, then narrow.
I've never cared enough about anyone else to feel like this.
He picks up his coffee.
It's just fucking typical that I would go and find the most defiant woman on the planet to...
Try and control? I raise my eyebrows at him, and he deepens his scowl on me. What about other relationships?
I don't have relationships. I'm not interested in getting involved. Anyway, I don't have time.
You've devoted enough time to trampling all over me, I blurt over my coffee cup. If this isn't involved, then I don't know what is. He shakes his head.
You're different. I told you, Ava.
I'll trample anyone who tries to get in my way, even you. Our breakfast lands on the table, smelling divine. Tucking in, I ponder his words. Why am I so different? I ask. My voice is small.
I don't know, Ava, he says quietly, slicing his way through his salmon.
You don't know much, do you? It's all he bloody says when I try and determine a reason for his controlling ways. I spark all sorts of feelings. What am I supposed to make of all this?
I know that I've never wanted to fuck a woman more than once. You, though, I really do.
I recoil in horror, nearly choking on a piece of toast. He has the decency to look apologetic.
That came out wrong.
He puts his fork down, closing his eyes and rubbing his temples.
What I'm trying to say is that, well, I've never cared about a woman enough to want more than sex. Not until I met you.
His temple rubs get more aggressive.
I can't explain it, but you felt it, didn't you?
He looks at me, and I think I see desperation for confirmation.
When we met, you felt it.
I smile lightly. Yes, I felt it. I'll never forget it. His expression changes instantly. He's smiling again.
Eat your breakfast.
He points his fork at my plate, and I resign myself to living without the knowledge I so desperately want. If he doesn't know, there's not much chance of me ever knowing. Would it make it easier to cope with him if I knew what made his complex mind tick? I might never know, but regardless, he's just, in not so many words, told me that he wants more than sex, hasn't he? So he cares about me. does care equal control. And he's never had a relationship? I can't believe that for a second. Women throw themselves at this man. He can't just screw them all once. Christ, if he's never fucked a woman more than once, how many have there been? I'm just about to ask this question, but I halt mid-inhale. Do I want to know? We need to buy you a dress for the manor's anniversary party, he declares in an obvious tactic to distract me from my pressing questions and thoughts. I'm sure he knows what I'm thinking. I have plenty of dresses. I sound really unenthusiastic, which is fine because I am. I'm only half comforted by the fact that Kate will be there to help me through an evening of Sarah glaring at me and passing sly remarks. Has he fucked Sarah? I imagine it's possible if he only fucks women once. The thought makes me stab at my breakfast a little too harshly. He frowns. You need a new one? It's that tone that dares me to challenge him. I sigh at the prospect of yet another wardrobe argument. I've more than enough options without buying a new dress. Besides, even if I didn't, I'd find something just to avoid a shopping trip with Jessie. Anyway, I owe you one. He reaches over the table, pushing a loose tendril of hair behind my ear. Yes, he does owe me one, but I don't want it because I doubt I'll have any say in what dress he buys me. Do I get to choose? Of course. He places his knife and fork on his plate. I'm not a complete control freak. I nearly drop my cutlery. Jessie, you're really very special. I load my voice with all of the sweetness the statement deserves. Not as special as you. He winks at me. Are you ready to hit Camden, baby? I nod, fishing my purse from my bag, while he watches me with a bewildered look. I put a 20 under the salt shaker on the table and observe as he stands on an exaggerated huff, digs into his pocket, and replaces my money with his, snatching my purse from my hand and stuffing my note back inside. Control freak. My phone starts dancing around the table, but before I can even instruct my brain to pick it up, Jessie has snatched it from under my nose. Hello? He greets the mystery caller. I look at him in disbelief. He really doesn't have any phone manners. Who is it, anyway? Mrs. O'Shea, he says coolly. My mouth falls open. No, not my mother. I try to snatch my phone back from him, but he dances away from me with a wicked grin on his maddeningly handsome face. I have the pleasure of being with your beautiful daughter, he informs my mother. I move around the table, and he shifts the other way, frowning at me. I clench my teeth and wave my hand frantically at him, but he just raises his eyebrows and shakes his head slowly. Yes, Ava has told me lots about you. I'll look forward to meeting you. Oh, the irritating twat! I've not mentioned much at all to Jessie about my parents, and I certainly haven't mentioned him to them. Oh, God, this is all I need. Glaring at him, I reach over, but he jumps back. Yes, I'll put her on. It was lovely to talk to you. He hands me the phone, and I seize it from his hand with a vicious swipe. Mum? Ava? Who was that? My mum sounds as mystified as I expected her to be. I'm supposed to be young, free, and single in London, and now strange men are answering my phone. I narrow my eyes on Jessie, who's looking rather proud of himself. He's just a friend, Mum. What's up? Jessie clutches at his heart, pulling a wounded soldier impersonation, but his annoyed facial expression doesn't match his playful act, not in the slightest. I hear my mother hum in disapproval. Matt called me, she states flatly. I turn away from Jessie to try and hide my wide-eyed look. Why has Matt called my mother? Shit,
I can't talk about this now, not in front of Jessie. Mum, can I call you back? I'm in Camden. It's loud.
My shoulders hit my earlobes at the feel of Jessie's eyes chiseling away at my back.
Yes, I just wanted you to know. He was all friendly. It doesn't sit well.
She sounds furious.